does the Israel Hamas terrorist war situation have to do with the global flood found in Genesis? Well, I'm going to tell you. This is Nate Williams with Dangerous Faith. And whether you come at it from an apologetics, theological perspective, any angle, the global flood in Genesis is hard to stomach. How could a loving God send a flood? Whether you think the flood is global, local, etc., just killed lots of people. And many critics will say, nope, see, that shows that God's not loving. What a monster. I'll read the passage. It's in Genesis 6, giving the justification for God sending the flood. Going down to chapter 6, verse 5, this is Genesis. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, as someone who loves apologetics, I'll often either get that question or I'll read about it online. Wow, God has to be a pretty terrible person or being or God to send the global flood, the flood that covered all the earth. Or again, there are some Christians that think it was a local flood, part of the earth. But regardless, just so much animal death, human life death, etc. And I'll admit at times that can be hard to stomach. Like, God, how could you do such a thing? But I think there's something key here. There's something really we can focus on. Verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's in Genesis 6, if you want to go look it up. And eventually, Noah built the ark, God sent the flood, that wiped out everyone except for about 8 people. That was Noah's family, and a lot of animals. Now, there's a problem that we have in our modern day world that kind of prevents us from understanding the gravity of the judgment of God. And what it is modernity and comfort and technology and how clean and sanitized we've made everything to where we fool ourselves into thinking this is kind of post-Enlightenment thinking. That we're really not that bad. That we're not that evil. In fact, we're probably good. We believe some form of humanism where people can solve their own problems. You just allow science and technology and elect the right leaders, spend enough money, have the right social welfare programs, and have the right education system, and we can solve all of our problems. And we get comfortable with our suburban neighborhood type mentality of, oh, we're really not that bad. We're just people, and we're shielded from a lot of evil. We're shielded from death, disease, sickness. We try to hide the effects of the fall, the curse you find in the beginning of Genesis, where we rebelled against God, and God cursed the universe as a judgment. We get to hide from the effects of all that. Now, it still comes for us eventually. Death comes for us all as Jesus tarries. So we can't run from it forever. But we're able to fool ourselves into thinking that we're really not that bad. We keep everything clean and tidy. When you have killing machines, killing organizations like Planned Parenthood that slaughters countless unborn children a year, so many thousands and eventually, yeah, what, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions of babies year by year. But guess what? We don't think we're that bad because Planned Parenthood does it behind closed doors, so you don't really even see it. You think about all the evil of human trafficking. Human trafficking is a major problem all across the world and in the United States as well. But again, because it's done, you know, in seedy hotels and, you know, highway systems where people are trafficked in certain vehicles, but you just never know it from the outside. And because it's certain people, gangs, and there's violence and drugs and all those things that for the average, I guess, middle class American, you don't bump into some of these things as much. Gangs, violence, human trafficking, all that. Abortions, because again, those are done behind closed doors. What I'm getting at is our world is very, very evil, but we're able to fool ourselves into thinking, oh, people really aren't that bad. And then when we go to Genesis and we read about the flood, we start to blame God. God, how could you be so judgmental? Look at us. We're not that evil. Why would you send the flood? How could you? That's so mean. But then, this is the case, just like with the Holocaust and stuff like that. Then, Hamas slaughters over 1,000 civilians. There's one thing about war between civilized nations that all war is bad. But between civilized first world nations, we're supposed to only attack soldiers and military bases and ammunition depots and whatever it is, but military targets. You don't target civilians. Hamas, being uncivilized monsters, if I'm being fully honest, they attack civilians and they slaughter and kill families. There are stories of those terrorists going house to house, just killing family after family after family. And babies being decapitated and shot. People being burned alive in, I guess, maybe cars and buildings and homes. And it was over 1,000. I've seen different numbers, 1,200, 1,400 civilians. All targeted by Hamas. Civilians. It wasn't like Hamas was targeting Israeli soldiers and happened to hit civilians. No, they went after civilians. There was like this music festival and they killed hundreds of people at a music festival, like a big concert. What war purpose does that serve? No, they do it just because they're monsters. And then when Israel retaliates, you know, Hamas, because they hide behind civilians, a lot of civilians die, but Israel tries to target the terrorists versus the civilians, and then just the way Hamas operates, you end up killing both. But anyways, regardless, the thing I want to point out was the worldwide reaction, which helps me to understand why God sent the flood, because war unmasks just how evil people can be. When there was news that 1,200, 1,000, whatever, 1,400 Israelis had died. Now, again, this was unprovoked, and this was attacking civilians. People all around the world, including here in the U.S., on college campuses and in major cities, rejoiced. People cheered. And there were chants about killing the Jews and gas the Jews, which brings you back to the Holocaust, when you had millions of Jews slaughtered by Hitler, and the German people, they just allowed it to happen. And what happens now when you see all this evil, just pure, unadulterated evil? Now I understand the flood. Because before, again, I outlined just this pretty little picture of people in the U.S. doing well, and sure, we might have some bumps and bruises, sicknesses here, car problems there, but all in all, if you live in this country, on average, you're doing just fine compared to the rest of the world, where we have just such a pretty life that the flood doesn't make sense. We're like, what? Could people really be that bad? But you see, in war, when it's shown what humans can do to each other, the awful things we can do to each other, just the pure evil, where, again, fact check me if I'm wrong, you know, follow me on social media, you know, at Dangerous Faith, or we have a YouTube channel as well. And if I'm wrong, please fact check me, I don't mind. But women were raped so violently that their pelvises were broken. Disgusting. Absolutely vile and wicked and evil to the point where using language like that just loses its meaning because you use it so often. That these people were monsters. And so, again, going back to Genesis 6 verse 5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. It's like, I get it. God, I understand that if this is what the human heart is, without any institutions to hold you back, without anything to civilize you, without anything to keep you in check, and evil's just allowed to run rampant. I get it, God. I understand that if everyone's acting like these Hamas terrorists, and women are being raped extremely, all rape is violent, but like especially brutally, and babies are decapitated, and whole families are slaughtered. Civilians, I want to emphasize that. Civilians, not soldiers. And that was the whole point of the Hamas attack, was to kill civilians. And then you have people all around the world cheering for this, saying, oh, this is a good thing. That's how the Holocaust happened. That's how people can justify the most awful acts being done to another person, because we're monsters on the inside. And the Bible gets that right. Those who think that humans can solve all of our problems and, you know, after enlightenment, just rely on science and technology to reach utopia and we can figure it out on our own, that's stupid. And war shows that. World War One, World War II, this Israel Hamas conflict shows that we can't solve our own problems. We're just unleashing the sin, the selfishness that's on the inside. But anyways, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. I was like, okay, it deals with apologetics. How could God send the flood? Does that make him a mean, bad, evil God? It deals with a little bit of theology, just understanding how depraved our hearts can be. I'm going to look up a verse and see if this will fit. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Cure. That's the NIV. The ESV says, and desperately sick. The Bible understands human nature. And that's why we need to remember, when God judges the world, it's for a reason. And I honestly think that because modernity and the comforts of our Western world has so hidden us from the fact that we're evil on the inside, and we're kind of lull ourselves to sleep and we're able to fool ourselves. But mark my words, if we were suddenly thrust in a survival, every man for himself situation, you'd find the most prim and proper people doing some evil things when forced to, because that's inside of all of us. And so again, we point to the gospel, God changing us through the Holy Spirit and working towards a world where all this eventually will go away and there will be no more evil, sickness, sin, death, all that. So that's our hope. But don't let the fact that our Western world lives very cushy lives in general, on average, don't let it fool you from the fact that we're still the same sinful people we've always been that the Bible describes, and we need Jesus. And I think war exposes that, just how evil humans can be. And that explains the flood to me when I see the depths of depravity that we can sink to. But I'd be interested in knowing your thoughts. What do you think? Again, we're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We have a YouTube channel. Make sure to like, share, subscribe. Reach out. We have a website as well, dangerousfaith.net. You can contact me through that too. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. Does this help you understand the global flood? Do you still think it's a little too brutal and God was maybe being a mean bully? Or am I making sense? I'd love to know. Anyways, we'll be back with more episodes. Keep tuning in.